What's up? Welcome to episode 58 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today is my co-host, Matthew Aguilar.
What's up?
And on the couch today is producer Jim Viscardi.
What's up?
And we had a whole show planned for you guys right as we walked in here, but as soon as we stepped into the booth, a whole bunch of stuff just happened that kind of forced us to rethink everything, and so we got a whole new show for you today.
Yay!
So, what happened to
you? You would have loved the old show.
Yes, you would have
really. The old show would have been great, but this one's definitely going to be
better. I mean, there's no possible way that could be true.
This one is definitely going to be better.
I mean, the logic doesn't even follow. We had a great show, but we scrapped it for this other stuff we're about to talk about.
Now, right.
We had a kind of show just pieced together of things. We had plenty to talk about because this is Comic Book Nation. We always have stuff to talk about. But there's some big breaking news stuff happened, which we have got to deal with. Since we started to come in here, Sony and Disney have broken up over Spider-Man. We're getting another Matrix movie confirmed with the original stars back. And we just didn't even know this all happened in like a 10-minute span. And we had to reformat the whole show, but here we are. So we're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about what the future of Spider-Man looks like in the movies. What this new Matrix movie is going to be about. We also have a new James Bond title that we have got to discuss. What the future is for Arrow, Stephen Amell, what's new in comics this week. Man, we got a lot to get to.
Can't wait.
Be sure to stay tuned because when we come back, this news flash is going down.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so now that we're back, it's time for this newsflash to go down, as promised.
Oh, man.
We're going to start right at the top with the big thing. I think we're going to save Spider-Man for our deep dive section later on because there's a lot to talk about there. But let's talk about The Matrix. So we've been hearing rumblings of a Matrix 4 forever. I mean, since The Matrix 3 came out. Matrix 4, a Matrix reboot, you know, whatever it could be. We've heard everything from like Michael B. Jordan's going to be in it to, all kinds of crazy
Look,
stuff.
Look, the Keanu sans is real.
Yeah, I mean, but Keanu Reeves is kind of having this resurgence. So what we found out is we're getting The Matrix 4. It's confirmed. Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss, who played Neo and Trinity in the original trilogy, are both signed on to return. And Lana Wachowski is coming back. One half of the Wachowski directing team from the original trilogy is coming back. That's what we've gotten so far as of walking in here. So that raises a lot of questions. Not so much the Lana Wachowski part. I think Lana was a lot more heavily involved in doing things like Sense8 and kind of stuff like that. And so that's not a surprise there. Lana's been really working to mix kind of social commentary and, you know, specific themes with, you know, sci-fi and action and all that stuff. That's kind of the signature. So I'm not surprised about that. But Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss coming back is somewhat of a big surprise, given where we left their characters, which were dead as AF in the Matrix Revolutions. And this makes this like really kind of a direct sequel, right? Like this is now we can say this is pretty much until we know, unless something happens when we learn more, like this is one of those passing of the torch movies. This sounds like a direct sequel. Like it's going to be
like you have to deal with
the,
exactly. Part of me kind of wonders if like they themselves have been integrated into the grand AI of it all, and like their roles in this may just be through, you know, training, you know,
like
protocols.
Mentors?
Yeah, like mentors and things like that, that they're not actually physical things. But it's just so crazy because they're now 20 years older from when they started this thing. And you know, Warner Bros. Like, well, we got that franchise, we've got to, you know, let's fire it back up. But I think given everything that has gone on with the idea of AI and just technology in general, I'm super excited to see how they translate what everything today is like in, you know, through that Matrix lens.
Yeah.
Well, if I've learned anything from Jumanji, this will just be like them going to Matrix, except now Carrie Ann Moss is playing Neo and Neo was playing Carrie Ann Moss, and they just simply switched roles in the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, that's the big question. The Matrix came out at the 2000s and then kind of reflected all our Y2K fears about machines taking over. And this is the kind of one of those franchises that has the same kind of difficult task in front of it like Terminator does.
Yes.
All these Y2K movies, because like we were fearing like machines rising up, getting too intelligent, killing us. And then it's like now we just all, you know, gave up our souls to machines and stare in phones all day and don't know how to have like real human experiences anymore. So they didn't even have to take over. We were just like, no, we'll surrender. It's all good. And so, like, how do you translate that into, like, a new kind of metaphor for these things?
It's like, funny you actually bring that up, because I felt like the original Matrix was, like, a warning. And we as a society have just been like, ah, it's just a movie. And now we're like...
Well, you know,
but if the new one does something,
I don't want to darken your intellect, but like we do that with most great pieces of literature,
religion,
movies, stories.
But like, if the movie takes that very meta look at that, that could be very interesting to go. By the way, we gave you the warning; you failed.
Or
here's
or if people started just rejecting this future world and opting to like Cypher, like in the original Matrix, was a kind of subplot that is more relevant today than it was in the original movie. It was just like a betrayal. Cypher betrays them because he doesn't want to wake up, and so he wants to go back to sleep in the Matrix. But what if that became like a grand theme as a reflection of, you know, how we are today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where people were like, nope, put me in the Matrix. Like, I want to have superpowers. I want to be a superhero. I don't want to live in a real life. Like, what happens then? Hopefully it's not a Luke Skywalker thing where Neo is just some grizzled out old man who's just like, I did all this. I'm like, and hopefully Jada Pinkett's back, because you and me talked about that.
Living in the
we need our Enter the Matrix.
Ghost. I need Ghost.
Enter the Matrix 2 video game.
That was so good.
So we gotta wait and see what's going on with this, but it's confirmed, ladies and gentlemen, the Matrix is coming back. Will we all be here by the time
it does?
So
does this mean I get, if we're on this Keanu's aunt's thing, does that mean I get a lake house too?
Look, I
mean,
wouldn't put it past
Lake anything. House too, maybe. The world's ready for it.
Chain reaction.
Sandra Bullock is definitely ready for it, so, like, you never know.
I hearted that movie.
Moving right along. So, Matrix wasn't the only franchise return that we got. James Bond 25 is coming back. It's coming down the pike. And we got the official title for it, which is No Time to Die.
Yay.
So it's actually very funny, because now I'm actually going to pull it up right now. The press release that got sent out by MGM actually had a different title in the first line of their...
Oh, gosh, did they really?
Yeah, where I think... I'm almost positive it said A Day to Die, but...
Should have been a little too close
either
to
way,
Die Another Day.
But either way, like, I kind of like this title. I love the logo treatment, but it's weird because this movie is in such a weird spot. It's the 25th movie, and the last two were meh received, and you know this is probably going to be Craig's last one. So you're like, do they?
Wait. What do you mean the last two were meh received? Spectre was meh received, but Skyfall was before Spectre and was like,
yeah. Skyfall's
popular.
Like considered.
Do people like Skyfall?
Yeah. It's considered.
Oh, I didn't really like Skyfall.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty even to say that Casino Royale is the one
is of the best.
The Craig era that is like held up here. But
right.
Skyfall was
number
right,
two.
Yeah, it was number two.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's how it's
really
viewed.
I didn't really like it. But okay, fine. Fair enough. But it's really curious. Like, is this a Passing of the Torch movie? Is this just, are they just going to treat this like any other Bond movie, and then Bond 26, if we get a new Bond, we'll just pick up like Casino picked up.
I thought it was a done deal that he, like, it took them to move heaven and earth to get him back for this. Like, I thought this was done. Like, this is it, his last outing, and then they're going to figure out what's next for the franchise, which I'm actually ready for.
Right.
I don't really
like
movies with
stars. There's
that
rumor, that Lashana Lynch is technically playing Bond in this movie, and I think the idea is that Bond is off, you know, in retirement, and the his code name or whatnot has just been passed on, and then when Bond comes back, he gets to be Bond again. But again, it's like, it's one of those things where it looks, the Craig era of Bond movies have been building this ongoing narrative, which has not happened in any, like, traditionally in any of the other Bond films, where they all have kind of been their own individual little pieces. And so will this end this chapter, and then we'll just basically start new, or like that's what has me curious about this.
But can we say that it's not a particularly entertaining
Yeah, I mean,
story.
That's what I mean.
You're going deep on something that I'm still like sitting here. Like,
I get that it is an overarching narrative, but it's not a particularly great one because, I mean, if you asked me to point out like three things about the overall plot, I would go, it's pretty.
I hope they just do something. Just keep it simple. It's a Bond movie. Just like poison him and give him a race against the clock and he can't die or something.
And then I want this to be like, it's time for a new era. I'm good.
Yeah.
And Daniel Craig, put a bow and let's move forward.
Yeah. So that's it. We're going to retire Bond as soon as we get the chance. Moving right along, though, let's talk about Arrow. Arrow's coming to an end. And what's going to happen to Stephen Amell? We've been talking about that. You know, what's going to happen to him after that show's over, the show that basically kind of solidified his stardom. And Matt, you can report on this because this should make you pretty happy because Stephen Amell is going from Arrow into the world of wrestling.
Yeah, what's the? I don't actually remember the name of.
Are you kidding me?
It's called Heels.
It's called Heels.
I don't remember, dude. We just got a ton of information. Excuse me for blanking.
I thought you would be the happiest one.
I am
about
though. I mean, I'm really excited about the description. You love heel turns.
Well, I'm more excited. You love good heels in wrestling. So
I'm more excited.
All right, now I got to set this up.
I was going to set it up. I know. Well, I just don't know the title. Well, you didn't tell me you were going to.
Let me stop fighting.
You know, there's a song in Lion King I was singing the other night. It's called "Be Prepared." It's a very good song. It's about military might, but it applies to podcasting too. But anyway, so we're getting a show called Heels in which Stephen Amell plays somebody working for a kind of up-and-coming amateur wrestling company, and he plays the heel, or which is known in wrestling terms as the kind of bad guy, the instigator. So that's his role in the show. So there, take it from there, man.
Well, it's okay. So yes, that is the face of it. The real thing, though, is it splits time between his in-ring persona and his role as the actual runner of the day-to-day business, because independent wrestling is very, you know, like the core things are there, but it's a very different beast than the thing we see in WWE and everything like that.
He's basically like Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. And he's running his promotion. He's trying to set things up and he runs it with his brother. There was recently The Rock did the Page movie that kind of was, like, it was based on an actual documentary of this indie UK promotion that I feel like if this movie captures that kind of raw feel and tone and those characters that you're as invested in their like personal lives and their rivalries and their jealousies of each other and just their familiar relationships as you are with whatever they're setting up in the ring, this could be great. Like, you know, now I did see the comment that the character is very much like, it's about duality, right? He's a heel in the ring, and then he's also like, you know, going to the edge and fringe of things when he's running the company. And some are like, well, so he's essentially playing a wrestling version of Oliver Queen. But, you know, okay, hey, stick with what you know. I mean, that's what's wrong with that. If you do that well, cool.
Dude,
I am interested in it.
It goes back to me in the very first podcast I ever did when Arrow was starting. And I said the reason why I believed in Stephen Amell when that show began is he just looks like a dude who could have an elaborate, like, Red Room, Christian Grey Red Room in his house because he looks like he has that underlying darkness.
Wow, okay. Which is really dark with that.
Really? Well, you know, really I consider dark, it a survival skill to avoid those kinds of people. And after the latest season of Mindhunter, I would advise you do too. But that's all to say. So, I mean, this sounds like it is his wheelhouse. You know, I think he's a funny comedic actor, too. I mean, from if you ever watched Hong Kong, I've said that before. But, yeah, so this is in his wheelhouse. So, I mean, this is good. Glow has been successful for Netflix, and so it's going to be interesting to see kind of what this does. I mean, this is going to be airing on Starz. And Starz is trying to ramp up some new series, so we'll see. All right, moving right along. Let's talk about some DC TV and movie updates real quick. I mean, this was a bigger section, but now we got to keep it moving because of all this stuff that happened. So we found out that Joker could be getting a sequel, which I threw in here because Todd Phillips didn't say it's definitely happening, but he basically alluded to the fact that if this Joker movie that's coming out is popular enough and Warner Brothers is interested, he already has kind of ideas for a sequel. And if Joaquin Phoenix, and that he and Joaquin Phoenix, the way he kind of put it, have tossed around ideas for what they would do with a sequel. And if that, you know, studio's on board and Joaquin's on board, he would definitely come back and do a sequel.
What do you think defines like success for a movie like Joker?
Well, I mean, I would say the same for any business thing is high rate of profit taken in comparative to the cost.
All right. So, I mean, so for Joker, what do you think?
I'd have to look and see how much it cost.
I was going to say, what's the budget? That's
I can't imagine it's
It wasn't. It was very low. It was indie level budget. I know that. So, I mean, if Joker makes $200 million, I mean, I feel like it's already sitting kind of pretty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there
and
you
if
go.
It gets some critical acclaim and they are yeah, able to parade it
Warner
around.
Warner Brothers and then the branding wins that it could have, like, definitely. And it's a sure bet for a sequel. Like, if you bring back Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix, like, it's a very low chance that the quality or the would diminish.
But what if it makes a bunch of money based on name brand alone and ends up being like a Venom, where it makes a bunch of money but wasn't that great of a movie?
Is Venom getting a sequel?
Is Suicide Squad getting a sequel?
Well, but it's getting a sequel with a different director.
Yeah,
so like sure, Todd Phillips
but
wants
the brand
to make
is still getting,
Todd
like,
Phillips wants to make a sequel.
I mean,
but Venom's getting a sequel.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know that, but what I'm saying is like you know sure Todd Phillips wants to make a sequel. Everyone wants to make a sequel.
Yeah, but if it gets a sequel, he's not cut out completely. He'll get a producer credit or something like that. So it's not like he'll be like gone forever. Mm-hmm. But like. Yeah, the reason I bring this up, though, wasn't so much about that. It's, does this defeat the purpose of this entire branch of the DC movie thing? Wasn't this the supposed to be the standalone?
Right, like the one shot.
Uncumbered by franchise stuff?
Continuity.
Because it's supposed to be kind of like standalone titles. I mean, I get it. You can still make a standalone franchise.
I was gonna say, yeah, I mean, what?
But isn't that where we went wrong with, like, The Dark Knight?
Sorry, prepare to see Joaquin Phoenix in the Batman
movie. I mean,
movie.
See, but I don't think, I think that's the step too far. I don't think it like you can. I always expected that if these did
that's
well,
that's not a step that you don't. You think
no,
they're
I just
considering?
Think that if I think we have that conversation then if they start doing well. Okay, well this is now part of that universe and yada yada. I think you then go okay. Well then, what was the point? If it's these standalone things, if they were gonna make money or be profitable, you of course they were gonna do sequels. Like I never went in not thinking that.
But therein's the problem. Like as soon as you say. Joker's getting a sequel.
Right. How do you do a sequel?
And how do you do a sequel to that?
Yeah.
How do you keep telling Joker stories that eventually have nothing to do with Batman or the larger franchise and mythos? I mean, it works for an origin story because of the premise.
Yep.
Like stretching it out to Joker had this long career as Joker, like is a lot harder to sustain.
But taking it from the trailer that, I mean, because there's going to be some small presence of Wayne's and stuff like that in this movie, right?
Yeah.
And Bruce is a kid. If that is Bruce in the behind the gate and all that that they've shown.
Yeah.
It's Bruce.
I imagine, right? So if that's Bruce, you've got years. I mean, he's a kid still. You've got years before he's doing
it. But I don't think audiences, I think it's a much harder sell to come back the second time and say, we got another standalone Joker movie for you. And again, we're not going to do any Batman again.
I mean, all it takes is someone to do it right first time. I mean, look, I mean, we'll have to see if they nail it this time. I mean, they might not nail it this time. I mean, we're getting ahead, putting the cart a little bit ahead.
I'm kind of a co-fan on this one. Even if they make a fantastic Joker movie, super critical acclaim, makes a ton of money.
Yeah.
I still think it's a very big pill to swallow asking that audience to come back for another Joker movie. With no Batman.
I really don't think it is.
No, I think it is. I mean, it's difficult.
I think you'll get some, but those aren't the ones you're really courting anyway. I think you'll, if you tell a good enough story and it is in this little world that Todd Phillips has created, I think you can sell it if it's a good movie. I think people will come.
I will agree to disagree. I think it's much, I think,
I mean, I'm cool
I think
with
it
being right.
sells as a stand. I think the whole point of the standalone is a metaphor for is it just a snapshot metaphor of Joker as a character
yep.
study. Character studies don't typically get sequels. Like, it's kind of hard to do a character study sequel.
Until they do.
Yeah, I guess until they do, but I don't think it can be done. I don't think it's I think it's been a staple in storytelling for a long time for reasons.
True, but how many times have I heard in Hollywood, oh, you can't film this,
but,
oh, you can't do this,
well,
and then
right,
it gets
but,
done.
But then, like,
it's
the only real way I think to
out.
Do that is making Joker come off as a hero. And I think once you do that, then it's an incredibly slippery slope.
I mean, I would agree as far as the hero thing. I don't want to see that.
No, I mean, I'm going to say it right now. I think I think Joker will be successful, but I think it's very hard to do a sequel without without people immediately jumping into ties to Batman and stuff like that. But all right, we'll see because we got a ways to go. Next up is Titans has launched a new poster which showed off their version of Deathstroke. In a lot closer detail than we've seen, mm-hmm. and he's getting kind of trolled right now.
Why is
online.
The internet hating
I don't
that?
Know. I feel like people are stretching for this DC thing. People are kind of, I mean, it's the usual insults. That's why I'm kind of disappointed in this one. It's the lack of originality. It's like people saying, oh, he looks like cosplay. Seeing
the they not seen the one on Arrow?
Thank you.
That's what I was getting to is like, and people are stretching to the point where you have some people slamming the Titans one and then saying, no, the Arrowverse one doesn't count.
Oh, those people are clearly digging.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're just like, okay, like, how are you separating one from the other? Like,
get to
TV Deathstroke. TV Deathstroke and TV Deathstroke looks like TV Deathstroke.
I think he looks fine.
Yeah, this costume is better than the Arrowverse costume.
Like, that is Deathstroke. I mean,
it already kind of looks like the one that they were going to put Joe Manganiello in.
Yeah. Like, it looks like Deathstroke. What did you want?
Have you seen Deathstroke's costume in general?
The color coding is wrong. The balance of orange and blue is incorrect.
Well, you can say that about everything on that Titan show.
That's true.
Except
for Hawk and Dove. Hawk and Dove are pretty.
Yeah. Oh, those are spot on.
Those are spot on.
But I think it's universally agreed that those two are the best parts of that show. Period.
Amen to that.
No, Jason Todd is.
Hawk and Dove all the way. I will take a Hawk and Dove show.
Like in two episodes.
And those are the two best episodes of the whole first season.
That's right.
And the amount of time they're actually together on screen.
They're great.
Okay. You guys are all smoking crack today.
Or right, as that is
no.
called.
No.
So, that's twice.
Jason Todd's.
I wasn't with you on that first one, but I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, good. You guys can sync together. But, all right, so Deathstroke's getting trolled. You guys should leave Deathstroke alone. I mean, Titan Season 2 is looking pretty sweet so far.
I thought it was weird that they showed Deathstroke's daughter on the poster, but not his son.
Poor Jericho.
Man,
fuck that guy.
But truthfully, no one cares about Jericho.
All right. And as a final section of our news flash today, we had some quick updates that seemed a lot more important when we first did this show. The first one was, these are updates that I had to revisit because in our last episode, if you can't tell, sometimes the timing between when things happen and when we record gets a little funny. And so sometimes we can end up... with egg on our face in a lot of ways because of timing. Like, it almost happened today. We walked in here and almost missed out on the biggest news of the week so far, but luckily we caught it. Now, on the last episode, we did not catch two things. First, we talked about, I did my rant and rave last episode about Krypton Season 2 and how much I liked it and how great it was, how exciting it was for the setup for Season 3, where I begged and pleaded for people to support the show so that Season 3 would, you know, be guaranteed to happen.
That
and it's like,
so hard.
No sooner did we get out of here.
I think the phrase you said was, you didn't want it to get deadly classed.
Yeah. I did not want it to get deadly classed. And as soon as we walked out of here, before we even pushed the upload button on the podcast, Sci-Fi canceled Krypton. So, you know, this is a non-cursing podcast, but if you can imagine, there's just like a word with a lot of U's in the middle.
He was very upset.
As someone who did not get to sit in on that podcast and having listened to it over the weekend, your enthusiasm for wanting Krypton to continue was still incredibly valid.
It was infectious, too.
It was.
I left that show almost going like, man, I need to dive back into Krypton.
Yeah, well, you should, just for posterity. But yeah, I mean, we were going to get Hawkman, the Thanagard. We're going to get the Omega Men. There was going to be a big war. Dude, Brainiac was headed to Earth with Jor-El to give him Superman powers as a young kid. Like, it was nuts.
Part of me thinks... that this was not Sci-Fi's decision.
Probably not.
When you're talking about the impending streaming wars that are upon us, this feels like something where they potentially wanted to let the whatever streaming rights that they may have given Sci-Fi for seasons 1 and 2 lapse, so they can put it right back onto HBO Max or DC Universe and potentially continue it from there.
Yeah, I mean...
I can't imagine they would leave, especially a Lobo spinoff on the table.
And the Lobo actor even teased that, right? Kind of that, like, there's something else in the offing, so...
Yeah.
It could be marshaling forces for HBO Max, and that's the hope with Krypton fans because, I mean, the show was really good and really well done and just, it's just annoying. I mean, Sci-Fi, I mean, I tweeted out that, you know, I feel like Sci-Fi canceled itself because between canceling
Krypton,
canceling Deadly Class, canceling Happy, and the shows that are already aging out on
wasn't
there,
The Expanse on Sci-Fi?
Jane, whatever.
Are they Van Helsing too?
Helsing is, I mean, those are all aging out.
Winona Earp.
Winona Earp. Like, so, I mean, Sci-Fi kind of canceled itself. For a minute there, you were a brief destination for comic book
TV. They had a lot of cool shows.
Yeah, and you just canceled them all. So, congrats.
Right.
Moving right along. The other thing I said that I ended up with my foot in my mouth was we did a whole piece about the rumor that Obi-Wan Kenobi was getting some kind of new project and that it was going to be announced soon, and we were hoping, and we had this big theory about D23 dropping this Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan reveal, and then as soon as we got out of here, they just said, yep. Like, literally, as soon as we walked out of here last time, yeah. They were like, yep, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's not your foot in your mouth, though. It's not like you said, they'll never do
to
it.
To be fair, Disney didn't say
it. Well, it just sounds like it just sounded like kind of an asshole, like up here, like,
no, you're fine.
Sitting here like,
you can't know.
Let's do a D23, they'll reveal it, and then they're like, no, they'll reveal it now. So, yes, we're getting an Obi-Wan Kenobi series for Disney live action, and I can't be more psyched for that. So
we'll probably get a reveal at
D23. Yeah, see? So you're partially right.
Yeah. Great. All right, so that'll do it for our news flash. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we are going to deep dive into this whole Disney-Sony Spider-Man fiasco, and Matt is going to take us through the new big comics of the week, so be sure to stay tuned.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, so the love affair is over. Soon as before we walked in here, Disney, Marvel Studios and Sony, you know, they changed the world. They made us believe in something when it was announced that they were like the first two big studios to finally sit down and play nice by sharing their toys. Sony was going to share Spider-Man with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Marvel was going to help Sony get its Spider-Man movies right. It was a win-win. It benefited everybody, ultimately. And we were like, look at this synergy. Look at everybody playing nicely together. Well, bruh. Since then, I mean, there were always little hiccups about, like, what was going on in this relationship. You know, Brandon Davis came in here and antagonized the situation. I blame him for a lot of this, for screaming Venom about thing. Venom. I'm not watching Venom if it's not MCU. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, man, you can't send that kid to enough Hawaii hotels to chill out. But, like, coming back into this, we didn't know, like, where the line was going to be, how they were going to share, and how far that was going to go. But now it's all dissolved. And the reasons why that are coming out initially is that Disney came, you know, Disney isn't Marvel Studios. Like, Disney's a much different beast. I mean, they're owned by it, but it's not the same playbook. Mm-hmm. Much different beast. So they came to Sony and they were like, look, you're making big money off these Spider-Man movies. We want to co-finance the one. We're going to put up money so we get money out of this. And Sony reportedly was like, no deal. And then just walked
away. Like, no, thanks. We good.
And was like, nope, we don't want to share our money. We're making this $1 billion off Spider-Man now. We're not sharing that, guap. And they were like, well, what are you going to do? If you don't, we're not going to help you. And they're like, we, the Bulls, can win without Michael Jordan. We will still take the championship. Watch us. And now I'm, yeah, exactly. I'm exactly what you just did, which is that gif of the guy from the rap battle where he looks at the camera and he's like,
oh.
Yeah, because, yeah, I don't know.
The confidence hurts.
I don't know.
Well, I hope Tom Holland enjoyed playing Spider-Man.
Oh, that's what I said. I said he's just sitting down there thinking he has the world. He's like at some cafe in London, and a Sony van just rolled up, and they black bagged him and just dragged him off. They're like, you're ours.
Here's what an interesting part of this
and,
is.
Oh, and side note, I also said in the show notes, I also pointed out that today's Andrew Garfield's birthday, I believe. And I feel like he made one wish over those candles.
It's so petty, it up. But I love it.
And he's like, well, now you know how it feels when you're just a Sony Spider-Man.
It's interesting because...
Before we get into it, we should say right now the report is that there's two more Spider-Man movies on the horizon at Sony with Tom Holland and director John Watts. And that Kevin Feige and Marvel will not be helping with these next two.
Right. And so what I was going to say was when this whole thing first happened, we were told you know, and Feige has said this, and Amy Pascal has said this, that Watts and Tom Holland are going to be, like, those Spider-Man movies will be a trilogy. And it's interesting to see this report come out saying that there are now two more movies. I imagine it was, well, look at all the money we made. Let's see if we can get one more. But it was also interesting, too, because before they announced the Far From Home as a thing that was happening, John Watts was being very coy, being like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm coming back. But now to know that, like, Sony had this plan for him to come and do four movies is kind of insane, but also makes you think, if Sony is now going to be this, like, you know, we got it, thanks, Marvel, are they going to totally shoot themselves in the foot and start picking up some plot threads that they left behind in, like, with their Sinister Six movie that they, you know, that's on again, off again, and all that stuff that came out during the Sony leaks. Like, is this
Black Cat? Which actually sounded good. That was the best sounding one of the group that they had released. Yeah. But yes, I hope not. So but I don't have the confidence.
Universe.
But I don't have the confidence in them.
But what this goes to show, and there were a lot of people who were like, "Marvel's got control. Marvel's got control." Marvel never had control.
Who said Marvel had control?
Like, there were, you know, all your internet pundits or whatever. Everyone was all like, "Marvel has control of Spider-Man. Whatever, you know, Sony has to do whatever Marvel says." Sony was always in the driver's
seat. They own the rights.
They never gave it back.
They were never going to give it back. They were kind enough to let Marvel come play.
Which I think worked out for everybody.
Never given up.
Which worked out
He's
for everybody.
He's going to die with those Spider-Man, those 10 Spider-Man rings.
But I don't understand how anyone looked at that situation and said, oh yeah, Marvel has those. Like,
well,
no.
Spend
that
enough
was
time
point.
On Twitter, you'll understand that nobody understands it.
Right? Well, that's fair. That's very fair.
People have their own narratives going on Twitter.
I mean, this does mean that the whole question of Venom, Spider-Man, that takes that barricade out, right? No, because now Sony can do whatever it wants.
Well, right. But I think the where it gets really sticky and hairy is Tom Holland's Spider-Man and those first two movies solidly take place in the MCU.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now it's just going to be AWOL. He's just
and
gone.
We just sat here and talked about how Far From Home, how shocked we were of how much MCU heavy lifting was put on Far From Home and, like, the level of trust that showed between Marvel and Sony. And it's like, yeah, you wove him into being the next Iron Man. It's
yeah, like, but that's the thing, too, is where I think, like, Sony is just like, you guys just killed Iron Man. And, well, you know, we had him as a big guest star. So we really have no use for Marvel Studios anymore because you guys killed Iron Man.
This is, like, one of those things where, like, if I'm Marvel, I feel like I'm a little pissed, right? I'm like really pissed because of that thing. One, we just went through this whole movie to bring Spider-Man back. We should have left him dead. We should have just let him go. We brought him back, gave him this huge sentimental moment. We send off Tony Stark. We now make this whole thing about, like, legacy. And now you leave? Like, that's a little cold.
Tell you what, though. Now it opens the doors for Ironheart and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, they're going in overdrive, right? All those, like, young heroes, like, screw it. Now we don't have Peter.
I was like, yep, don't need Peter anymore.
Of course, that means I won't ever get my
As soon as we walk out of here, Marvel announces Spider-Woman Young Avengers.
Yeah. I won't ever get my Spider-Woman MCU movie now, though.
The week
that really
before
blows.
Spider-Man 3. Like, yeah, Young Avengers. Like, yeah.
Though with Sony's decision-making, maybe I'll get a cardiac.
Yeah, I mean, but this is beyond crazy. Like,
I don't even
so
know.
So much sloppy stuff to clean up.
Right.
Like, what are we going to do? We're going to now start Midtown. Midtown Science has finally stopped circulating the Captain America video.
Yeah, there's a lot
Peter
of
Parker
that stuff.
Checking that. YouTube,
there's a VHS
YouTube.
Burning.
YouTube flagged him and took down all his Civil War videos. Like, yeah. You know, Peter, should you call that other team? No, that other team isn't answering their phone.
That's the one thing I am curious about from the MCU
how
side.
How do you
is
navigate
to see how
that?
They, how, who's the first one that does that? That takes a little like, oh, do you remember some guy, Miguel? Yeah, I remember him. You know, like, whatever. I'm curious to see which one it is. To me, I mean, I would love to see what Gunn does with that, you know, type of thing.
But I mean, fortunately, I mean, on the MCU side, Spider-Man has been fairly self-contained, right? He's only really interacted with the Iron Man characters. Theoretically, we're not going to really see much of those characters anymore for the foreseeable future. So,
well, he interacted with Doctor Strange, the Guardians.
Yeah, sure, but not in any real meaningful way that it would disrupt any ongoing story narrative that the MCU has. I don't know how you do a third Spider-Man movie without...
Guys, coming this fall is going to be a new Spider-Man character launched by Marvel Comics, wholly owned by Marvel Studios, who will be making his, her, or its debut in the new MCU Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I don't... Like I said, I don't know... But I don't know how you do a third Spider-Man movie that is divorced from the MCU or continue on with Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Why?
Because then if you have him do a crossover with Venom or whatever...
Yeah.
I mean, then you're crossing wires and you're saying, well, now Venom's in the MCU.
No, stop. Stop. We're
okay,
not doing
whoa, MCU. Wait.
But these movies take place in the MCU.
Those two, but now they don't, and so they're. I imagine.
How do you get away from that? They're still Queens.
They can't use
never
the
seen,
things.
I mean, MCU San Francisco isn't around that much. It's a big place.
We've never. I mean, to be fair, we've never really seen this play out. So I mean, this is all unknown territory.
Same way Netflix shows.
You're
took
just
place
gonna.
In the MCU.
You're just gonna. They're gonna walk past it and go, yep. Oh hey, here we go, and look forward and just hope. You don't pay attention to the sides.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like Sony will draft off a win when they do inevitable Venom crossover because until, I mean, it's not like Marvel can make a Venom movie.
No.
Right? So they're going to get it like, oh yeah, that Tom Holland, he's in the MCU. Mm-hmm. Venom's now in the MCU. And we don't have to answer to Kevin Feige.
Yeah, they can put Venom in everything they
Dude,
want.
You're going to see Venom and Carnage. Spider-Man. Let me just settle this for you. Next movie, you're going to see Spider-Man and Venom take on Carnage. And then the third movie, after a loose friendship, they're going to have to take on the Sinister. They're going to have to take on the Sinister Six. And there you go.
Can I just say,
they're going to have to recruit help from Black and Silver.
I am actually excited to see their take on Anti-Venom. I love that character so much.
Yeah, so
you're not going to get that for another like 40 years.
Or now.
Thank you.
3 years.
What are you talking about?
When it's just maximum Venom, like, yeah.
They're going to throw every one of those characters out there.
I mean, it's Sony. You've seen what they've done. They probably are. They'll make a lizard come back or something.
Well, I guess that rules out the Oscorp building in the MCU.
Get a beetle.
Right?
Oh, goodbye, Oscorp. Goodbye, Goblin. Goodbye, Thunderbolts. Goodbye, like, Dark Reign.
Yep,
goodbye
I guess to that, it all. I guess that means it's the Baxter building in
this
the MCU
the
now.
End.
I think you can still get Dark Reign. They'll just sub out Norman Osborn
but
for somebody else. I know, I get it. But I just, it's bummer to me too, because I love
who
this.
Who
are
you doing
Mandarin.
With?
The Mandarin will be Dark
Reign. You're fine. Oh, the there's
Mandarin
enough people to MCU
yeah, it's just
can
the Mandarin. All right. They're so bringing, Mandarin's Dark Reign. Yay. Another way this business, another asterisk in this dirty little business of filmmaking. So, I mean, all in all, this sucks. So, all right.
It's
let's
just
move
crazy because I remember the moment when they made the agreement.
It That's what I said when I started out. We all were mind blown that they could
was,
play
you
next
You remember day. Where you were?
I remember I was in bed. I was lying
I was
in bed.
Making toast.
And my phone was blowing up. And I was like, what in the blue hell? And I roll over, I look at my phone, and we're, what it wasn't Slack at the time, but whatever the hell it was. We're just like, Spider-Man, it's Spider-Man. I was just like, what? And now it's all over. Life comes at you fast, man.
I mean, I think, like, in the end, I think it boils down to Amy Pascal just can't
that was
accept
a power move. That was just
she's not as great
flex.
As her little understudy, Kevin Feige, who's grown into the king of Hollywood.
So that was what year?
4 years ago.
That was like 14, 15, something like that.
Didn't last as long as Jamie Foxx.
It was right, I mean, it was before Civil War.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, Civil War's 2016, so it was about 14, late 14, early 15, something like that, so... All right, RIP MCU Spider-Man. We'll have the memories. I mean,
but hey, Spidey Venom, it's coming at you.
God, I feel like we just
get
like,
excited.
I feel like we briefly stepped.
Here's the crazy thing: that movie,
Spider-Verse, and now we just landed right back in the Amazing Spider-Man.
But here's the thing, though: like when they do this inevitable Spider-Man Venom, that movie is going to make so much money.
Well,
yeah, it will.
No, it's
I mean,
going.
Venom 2 is
going
to make money.
It's going to.
I mean, that's what everybody said
and
about Batman and Superman, too.
Spider-Man,
and that
Venom.
Make everything
Spider-Man,
as much as they wanted to.
I mean, since we should throw some Spider-Man plus Venom, maximum carnage.
Yep.
You know, like, just let's do it. Whatever. That's all we got left. All right. So, on that happy note, Matt, take us back into the realm of fantasy. Tell us what's coming out in comics this week. We're a place where things are still mostly pure.
Well, you know, it's funny, because speaking of... Carnage, right? So there is a new book that is it's a Deadpool book for Carnage that I didn't think would be any good, and then evidently Charlie read it and said it was fantastic.
It's great. Yes, and it is gory. It is got a nice big parental advisory slug on the front cover. It is better than it has any right to be.
I feel like that's a lot of these Carnage tie-ins. So far, I haven't read one that's been a complete turd. Like, just like, oh, this is didn't need to be printed. Like, so far, I've been surprised at how even the ones that are just okay, they've been solid. They've been good books. I never regretted giving my time. So that's actually surprised me. Plus, I'm very much excited for the next issue of that core series. Another book that is coming in hot is Powers of X number 3. Now, of course, you might think if you've been listening to past shows that should be House of X number 3, but there's a weird change in the... Yeah, so there's a change. So this week is going to double up.
I feel like this is something significant for the book. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll look back in 3 issues.
Doing like a weird Mobius strip type deal here.
And we'll go, these all match up to this puzzle on the door, and this is crazy. But just as a tease for we will break this book down in detail, on the next episode.
On the Friday episode.
And there's a lot to break down here, so look forward for that, because we'll go into full spoilers and everything then.
We had a lot happen before we walked in here.
Absolutely. For those who are looking for an entryway to discover Captain Marvel, IDW's kind of Marvel children's line, as it were, their kind of young readers line, they do Marvel Action Avengers books, and they also are debuting one this week that is all about Captain Marvel. If you are a fan of Flurkins, Chewie, or Spider-Woman, this book has everything. This book was made for me.
Wow.
This book
almost
is made
like
for
Matt
me.
Wrote the book.
It really is. And you can see all our reviews for these books will be up, by the
finally
way, today as well.
Finally putting your Captain Marvel fanfic to good use.
Also, to move over to some DC, Batman number 77. We're kind of nearing.
You're reading DC?
Yeah, I read DC all the time. Batman 77, we're kind of starting to near the end of Tom King's Batman run. This issue had me like... Because we're not going to go in the spoiler territory, I guess.
I mean, we can.
We can, okay. So
spoiler warning.
Spoiler from here warning. On. I haven't spoiled anything, but...
Spoiler alert!
But as you know, the Batman that is currently, like, Bruce is hurt and recovering, so it's like the Batman from the Flashpoint universe.
Thomas Wayne Batman.
Thomas Wayne Batman is the Batman here. He hurt Batman, and now Bane runs everything.
His Robin is Gotham Girl from the very first.
Which, by the way, they've done a really great job with her. But, you know, the reason that Bane is able to keep all the heroes out of Gotham is that he's held Alfred hostage this entire time. And so Damian Wayne goes and gets in. He's able to take down Gotham Girl in a great way, actually. It's just, I love Damian Wayne. I'm starting to really love that character. But then he gets more than he bargained for, and... Bane just straight up snaps Alfred's neck. And it's like, it is a point of like, he makes Damian watch. And like, it's a cruel, screwed up moment. And I was actually like, oh my God, there's no way, right? Like, he's not like, I mean, we could get back next issue and it's like some hologram or whatever, but it left an impression. Like, it was really good and powerful. So give that issue a read. It's actually been, I've really liked this last arc.
I had a bit of an issue with that issue, mainly because I think Damian is smarter than that. And so I don't feel like he would have necessarily done that. But again, that's...
Well, see, I like how at the beginning they have him get the wand. They have him take down Gotham Girl. But then I agree. I was waiting for that thing of like, okay, you knew you would be running into him.
Right.
How are you not? Because it's a straight up fight. Like, it's a melee fight. So it's not like he pulls out anything in particular. I'm like, how do you not know? Like, there's got to be something else to that. Yeah. But I hope they do. Otherwise, it does feel like that. But it feels like they do that with Damian a lot. Like, they'll make him really smart until the plot dictates that they need him here.
He can't be smart.
Yeah, and then they're like, you got to be stupid.
His fatal flaw is he's so smart, but
he's arrogant.
Tragically arrogant.
Yeah.
And always screws things up because of that.
Well, and that's so. One of the other DC books this week is Teen Titans. This is, I really love this series. Damian is also leading this team somehow at the same time because comics timelines. But
hey, the X-Men's only been 10 years long.
Yeah, for real. So this is actually really interesting because they go into some kind of identity crisis territory with this. If you remember, like, Identity Crisis, like, had them screwing up with people's minds and memories and kind of making them forget certain things and whatever. We dip into that territory here. But what they do with it, it's not that they just do it. It's what they decide to do after the fact. And it's kind of this weird rehabilitation thing that they have for villains. It's really interesting. It's also going to be really interesting to see it all blow up in their face, which you can also see the traces of. And then you have this weird Lobo storyline because Crush is his daughter that's kind of hovering out there. It's also really interesting. So there's a lot happening in this book. And it's kind of dark for a Teen Titans story, but it's really interesting. Like, I've been really impressed with what they've done. Also, Black Mask number one is a one-shot. It's kind of DC's Year of the Villains. This was big because of what they do to Black Mask. It's like, Black Mask is interesting as a, like, a premise, but there's not, for me anyway, there's never been much beyond the surface there.
It's mostly just been a movie.
Yeah. This actually, Luther essentially gives him the ability to change his face. So he can have any, like, he can take someone's identity and the mask is still underneath, but he essentially, like, takes on their life and persona. So, like, it has him, like, essentially Luther's like, you've been a crime boss for how long? And, you know, you've run this place, like, twice. And he even says, like, I was worth $500 million once. And Luther's just, like, laughs in his face. Like, are you serious? And so he ends up, like, taking the place of, like, high ranking, like, CEOs of giant companies that have all this pull in other countries. And it gives him the ability to kind of go out and really be something different than just this little mob boss guy. So it's really interesting. Also, if you read any book, Excellence by from Image is fantastic. It's like this weird, there's like this really interesting family dynamic between someone, this boy with like expectations, and it's got his grandmother died, but because this world is based in magic and you can, there's all these strict rules as to how you can use magic, he's like able to get her out of like she's suffering essentially from like dementia, mm-hmm. but because he's using magic in an unlawful way, he's able to bring her out for small glimpses and bring that person back. And so you have him talking to her in secret while this overarching thing with like his father and the magic users is happening. So it's this weird, like Harry Potter giant magic thing. But then you have this like really personal, interesting family dynamic on the other side. It's excellent. It's been a great series so far. Four comes out this week, so definitely check that out. For Marvel people, also Ghost Spider number one. If you're a fan of Spider-Man characters, you can still read them in the Marvel comics.
Also known as Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, which I hate that name, Ghost Spider. I don't know why they changed it. Well, I do know why they changed it.
Spider-Gwen just gives away the whole farm if you're trying to keep a secret.
Well, but then they own it.
Right.
They don't have to share. Valkyrie number two is also out. And then if you are looking for a trade paperback, I would very much recommend Meet the Skrulls, which is the entire five issues, is in trade. And it is an excellent series. Like, I did not expect anything when I picked up that book, and it's been great. So out in trade, you should read it.
All right, that'll do it for this week in comics and for our show as a whole. If you are just jumping into this Comic Book Nation podcast, we put up new, I keep reverting lately over to like saying my old show name. And like,
oh, yeah. I was trying to figure out what, because I saw the blip of like, oh, I messed up. I was like, you didn't say anything wrong.
I caught myself right there. I was just like, If you are just jumping into the Comic Book Nation podcast, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com, or you can subscribe to our RSS feed, or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, or you can tell any Amazon Alexa device, play Comic Book Nation podcast, and it'll fire right up for you. If you want to continue the discussion of anything we've been talking about today, you can always hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can find us individually on social media. I'm at Kofi Out. Law.
I am Matt Aguilar, CB.
And at Jim Viscardi.
And if you love the show and want to give us a positive review, go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. And if we read it on air, which we do read reviews periodically on the air, we will send you a Comic Book Nation t-shirt within about 2 to 4 weeks. Yep. So just
I just got the envelopes in. So now shirts are going into envelopes, labels are going onto the envelopes, and they are on their way out.
Shirts are coming.
Which means Kofi can read 20 more next show.
Yeah, that's what I've been waiting. I got to make sure poor producer of Jim's Viscardi.
We were waiting on some envelopes, and
people are waiting
stuck
for their t-shirts. They want that swag.
I want to give them the swag. Yeah, I don't want them sitting in the office.
Yeah, we love free promotion. So we will get those shirts out to you. No worries. Otherwise, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We hope to see you back next episode, and we'll see you then.
Deuces.
Later.